This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The national sales event is on at your Toyota dealer, making now the perfect time to get a great deal on a dependable new car.
Like a legendary Camry, built for performance and available with all-wheel drive, you can count on your new Camry to get anywhere you need to go. And with available features like heated seats and a multimedia touchscreen, you can stay connected in comfort and style.
Or check out an affordable and reliable Corolla with a trim for every lifestyle, from the hip and agile sedan to the sporty hatchback. There's a dependable Corolla built just for you.
Plus, both Camrys and Corollas are available in hybrid models, so no matter your style, you can drive efficiently and affordably.
So, visit your local Toyota dealer and check out amazing national sales event deals on Camrys, Corollas, and more when you visit buyatoyota.com.
Toyota, let's go places.
Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast about how to be happier. Using cutting-edge science, the wisdom of the ages, lessons from popular culture, and our own experiences. This week, we'll talk about why it's good to leave on a high note, and I will answer a personal question that many listeners have posed. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, with whom I am about to celebrate a big anniversary. It's coming up.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yes, Gretchen, our second anniversary of this podcast is just around the corner.
Unbelievable. Does it feel like 2 years?
No, it doesn't. It feels like we just started. I can remember exactly the moment when we went live. and it's been so much fun. And our listeners have been so great and contributed so much to the show.
Yeah, it's amazing. And in that spirit, we want to ask you to contribute even more to the show, which is we're going to do a special episode for our second anniversary with highlights from the last year. So if you have a favorite, try this at home. If you have a terrific before and after story, if you have a favorite funny moment, if you have a jewelry box solution, we've had many, many jewelry box solutions proposed to us. Let us know.
Yes. Email us at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or call 77-HAPPY-336 and leave us a voicemail message. Now, Gretchen, episode 102, we talked about a try this at home, which was find the missing puzzle piece. And it was sort of what's the thing missing in your life that would make everything much easier or more satisfying? And we have heard from so many people about what their missing puzzle pieces have been.
Yeah, you know, Alyssa, sometimes it's funny because we'll talk about an idea and I'm sort of like, is anybody else going to respond to this? Like, is it going to strike a chord with anybody? And people 100% understood the idea of the missing puzzle piece. And it was so satisfying to read about them. Like one a listener said she bought like reading glasses from the dollar store. And so they were just everywhere. She could give them away to anybody who needed them. They were just piles of them. So that was never an issue. Many people mentioned more trash cans, adding a trash can.
Yes.
And like adding those in, bigger ones.
Or bigger trash cans.
Yes, yes. One thing that really I responded to was having some things in every room, like scissors, post-it pad, Sharpies, pens, tape, facial tissues. I'm somebody, I used to always consolidate and like, let me put all the scissors away together. But it's like, no, it makes more sense to have your scissors distributed throughout your apartment.
Yes. Somebody else had the missing puzzle piece was colored keycaps so that she could tell her keys apart, which is a great idea.
Yeah, an extension cord power strip so that you have you don't have to keep taking things in and out of the outlet. You can just plug them all in. That seemed easy. And what surprised me was how many people mentioned figuring out how to make use of an unused room in their house. Because you think, how can you have a whole room that you're not really properly using? But several people reported how once they found a missing puzzle piece, then they were able to use a whole part of their house. Like Amy talked about how she had this room and had a lot of light, but somehow it just didn't feel appealing. And, and she also had piles of books all over her house. So she and her mother built this, like, she sent us a picture. It's like a real piece of furniture. It looks very professional. It's big. And it made the whole room look more furnished. It gave her a place to put all these books and these art objects. It looks gorgeous. And now she's sort of reclaimed this whole missing part of her house, which is an amazing puzzle piece.
Yeah, that's a big puzzle piece. I love this from Jenny, who wanted to eat better. She said she wanted to eat healthier, but she somehow couldn't get inspired to do it. And then she found these cool salad containers that were lightweight and easy to clean and had a little thing to put salad dressing in. So she says, I usually hate making salads, so much work chopping all that stuff. So I told myself, you love making salads. Think of all the different combinations of toppings and things you can put on there. You prep all these different things and then put them in separate containers. Then each weeknight, I pull out different ones and put together a salad for the next day. It's never boring, and most of the work is already done, and I have my cool salad container. So the simple salad container was her missing puzzle piece.
Right. So it's been fascinating to hear. Like, sometimes they are as small as a colored keycap, and yet they can make life a lot easier. So that was really fun. Thank you, everyone who sent those in.
Yes.
Now, Elizabeth, our try this at home tip is to leave on a high note.
Yes. And Gretchen, this suggestion comes from our listener D in Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, our hometown neighbor. We're from Kansas City, Missouri, but, you know, love a fellow Kansas Cityan. Excellent.
Yes, yes. D suggested this as a hack, but we actually thought it was worth elevating it to a try this at home. So D wrote, I have a happiness hack to share, and it's to leave on a high note. I have found this hack useful for social situations and vacations. If you're at a party or family event, try to leave while you're still enjoying yourself, instead of trying to squeeze every little bit of enjoyment out of a social event and risk things going downhill due to becoming tired or bored. Leave while you are still feeling energized from your time with people. You're more likely to leave the event with positive feelings that will make you more likely to attend future social events since you left on a high note. Another way to look at this hack is to quit while you're ahead or leave wanting more. I think this hack leaves you feeling exciting and energized to socialize again in the future.
Now, see, this I think is so helpful in managing social situations. And I'm really lucky because I am terrible at this. Mm. And I have this thing where once I'm in a situation, I kind of forget that I can leave or that I should be thinking about when to leave. I just am there. And if I'm left to my own devices, I will stay too late and get kind of drained and overwhelmed. But I'm really lucky because Jamie is really good at leaving on a high note. He always knows the exact moment to leave. And I remember at our wedding, like at our actual wedding, you know, we're there, everybody's there, we're cutting the cake, we're doing this, we're doing that. And then he came up to me at one point and he goes, now it's time for us to leave. And I remember thinking like, you are my knight in shining armor. You are so right. It is time for us to leave. And I really am now, I'm exhausted. Like, it is time for us to leave. And I was so happy that he had recognized this is the moment for us to leave.
Yeah. And I think I used to be a person who would stay till the bitter end of something. In fact, I think I felt obligated, like it was rude to leave.
Yeah.
Of course, it can also be rude to stay. People are usually ready for you to leave in any given situation. But it's true that it's really draining. Like if you stay too long, it just suddenly can switch over from good to bad.
In like a flicker.
From a great feeling to like a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And recognizing that and leaving before that switchover. I agree with D that it helps you want to do a social event again if you've left feeling good.
Well, you know, and like so many things related to happiness, it's really about mindfulness. It's about recognizing like I'm in a situation. What is my state? And I can manage, I can make choices. I can steer the situation so that I get, you know, maximum fun and pleasure and happiness from it and not, you know, let it become overwhelming and draining. But at least for someone like me, if I don't specifically remind myself to do that, it's easy to just get so caught up in whatever's happening that I lose track of the fact that I need to be picking a moment. I mean, at some point you're going to leave. So it's like, pick the right moment to leave.
Yes.
Well, you just went to Disneyland with Jack. I mean, that's like classic pick your moment to leave type situation. Did you think about it then?
Yes. In fact, I went with Corrine and we discussed beforehand that we wanted to leave on a high note.
Yeah.
Because we were going to be there on a Sunday. We stayed over Saturday night and had all day Sunday there. And it is the thing where you want to just drain every drop of fun from Disneyland. But we said, let's not do that. Let's leave early because they have school tomorrow and we need to, you know, we want them to be rested and get home and have time to unwind. And we were completely on board and we got, you know, it got to the point in the afternoon where we said we've done every ride that we absolutely had to do. There's nothing else that, you know, if we miss it, like we're just going to feel like we didn't do Disneyland. And as soon as we got to that point, we left and we all got home at a reasonable hour and Jack and I got to have dinner with Adam and relax, and he was rested for school the next day. So it was definitely better to leave at, you know, 4:30 and not do Finding Nemo again, as opposed to getting in every last ride.
But, you know, you raise a point that I think is really helpful to think about, which is you might want to talk to somebody else either in advance or at the time, because sometimes I think people do have different expectations. And if you're with somebody who's like, my philosophy is drain every drop, and another person's philosophy is, you know, quit while you're ahead, you might have conflict. And it's not that one person's right and one person's wrong. It's just like, how do we get to a place where we both feel like we're managing the situation? So I think it's a great idea that you guys talked about in advance.
Yes. And I will say, if you're not on the same page as the person you're with about this, it dovetails with another one of our Try This at Homes, I think we did, which was have an exit strategy.
Yeah.
In other words, like have your own way home so that you're not stuck there if you don't want to be.
Right. Well, and on the drain every drop philosophy, I have to say this is something I really learned from my in-laws, and maybe this is where Jamie got it. Because Elizabeth, growing up, mom and dad definitely have the, like, let's get every beautiful moment out of this vacation that we can type of philosophy, which goes very well with their, like, they're very high energy people and like to cram in a lot. But the Rubens always have like a recovery day. They have like a day where you get caught, you know, you get yourself organized, you deal with the mail, you sort of have this day to come back. And at first it seemed really strange to me, like, why would you cut your vacation short a day? But now I really treasure that. And I feel like vacations are more, that we take with my in-laws are more restful because you're not being slammed the next day with, you know, Monday.
Yeah, I think that's a tip from the Rubens that I've definitely taken in myself, because I think it does help to have that buffer time.
Buffer time. That's a good way to put it. But I mean, the fact is, it's like a lot of times things don't get more and more fun the longer they go on, you know?
Right.
It's like, so that's why the high note, pick the high note. It's not the end note. It's the high note.
That is a good distinction, the high note.
Let us know if you try this at home and how leaving on a high note works for you. Twitter, Facebook, email us at podcast@GretchenRubin.com. Or as always, go to happiercast.com/105. This time, this is episode 105, for any information, links, images, etc. related to the episode. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. And, you know, Elizabeth, I now work with a team, and hiring the right people is so important. It's maybe the most important thing. And LinkedIn makes the process of identifying and hiring people easy and intuitive. I know that when I've been hiring for my team, it's hard to find quality candidates to interview. And LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn.
Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Elizabeth, I got the Flowknit wide leg pant. It's very light. It's perfect for the summer. It packs very easily. I recently went on a trip with my family, and I took it with me, and they were just the thing to wear on a really hot day where I wanted to be covered up, but I wanted something that looked great and also was very comfortable.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Gretchen.
So Gretchen, this happiness hack comes from the Metropolitan Museum, which just announced a fantastic new policy.
Yes. So if you're a person who loves to like make personalized mugs, or you want to make a mouse pad or a t-shirt, you know, with art images, the Metropolitan Museum now has a policy where they have 375,000 images of its art collection for free and unrestricted use. And that is, it's everything that they have that's in the public domain or where they have the copyright to it. And so you can use it for general use, you can use it for scholarly use, and you can even use it for commercial use.
So you can just go on what their website and browse these images or?
Yes. If you want to know the website, it's metmuseum.org. And what you do is you just like look up the artwork that you're interested in. So like, let's say you're looking up one of Monet's water lily paintings. And it'll just say whether you can use it. So like I looked up an Andy Warhol and it was like, no, you can't copy this. You can't use this. It's restricted. But then when, with other things like Washington crossing the Delaware, it was like, yeah, you can use it. I mean, I you know, every time I hear about something like this, I just like, I feel overwhelmed. Like, what could a person do? I never do much with it, but I love knowing that I can. And I think that there's a lot of people who have amazing uses for these kinds of iconic, gorgeous masterpiece images that they now have so much more access to. So I think it's a great, it feels like something that unleashes creativity.
Yes.
Think about how you could use this.
Yes. So thank you to the Met for that. And Gretch, I'll have to get you a Washington crossing the Delaware mug.
Absolutely.
Okay, Gretchen, it is time for a Know Yourself Better. Tell us what we're asking ourselves about ourselves today.
Well, I actually hit upon this distinction at a dinner party, and I have to say it doesn't reflect very well on me because we had this dinner party and this guy was talking about himself and he was saying how important it was that a person have childlike wonder. And he kept using that phrase, childlike wonder. And as Elizabeth, you know, I have this very belligerent side of me, which is very argumentative, which is basically why I don't drink anymore. And I really will get very belligerent. And I was holding myself back from really arguing with this guy. But it made me realize, why was I wanting to argue with him against childlike wonder? Like, what's wrong with childlike wonder? So in the moment,
seems like a good thing.
It seems like a good thing. But in the moment, I did just like manage to curtail my belligerent side. But it got me thinking about this distinction, the difference between childlike wonder and adult-like wonder, which is I'm coining to be the opposite thing. And I think that actually this guy and my disagreement with this guy does kind of highlight a distinction in people's feelings about wonder.
So what is the distinction and what do you have against childlike wonder, which is what I'm gathering from what you're saying is it was the notion that you should have childlike wonder was bothering you.
Well, I think it was this idea that like, this is the right thing, you know, because one of the things I think is like, often it's not that there's one right way, but that there are many right ways. And that what's more interesting is to think how people might be different and how we can learn from each other and maybe accommodate each other and see how people might have a different perspective on the world. And I think what was annoying me was his insistence on a one type of wonder. It's not that there's anything wrong with childlike wonder, but it's not the only kind of wonder and it's not the best kind of wonder. So to me, childlike wonder is the kind of wonder that comes from being new in the world. It's from the novelty of experience. So, you know, there's something special every time. It's the first time we see something or we do something. Obviously, if you're a child, you're going to be much closer to that state just because you're newer in the world. And so children's wonder is less mixed with outside associations and emotions.
And then what about adult-like wonder?
So I feel like adult-like wonder, and I have to say this is what appeals to me more, not that there's anything wrong with childlike wonder, is the wonder that comes from experience and understanding. And I think some things seem more marvelous when you have more knowledge about them. And so you get more out of it because you're bringing more to it.
So I guess it's like imagining like a four-year-old child looking at the night sky and sort of gazing at the stars with wonder versus an adult astrophysicist who's looking at the stars and understanding so much of what she's seeing.
Yes.
Right? It's like the child will feel one kind of wonder, the astrophysicist will feel another kind of wonder.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's the childlike wonder and the adult-like wonder. And I think, and it's sort of like, I don't even know where this goes. I mean, like, what's the significance of this? Like, how are you going to do anything differently? But it's just that I think it's an interesting way of having insight into yourself and kind of the what appeals to you.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely with you in that I'm more attracted to adult-like wonder. I think I appreciate something more when I know more about it. And I think maybe it's a comfort level. I mean, I think there's something about I associate with childlike wonder that it's like you're dependent on other people to guide you through. It's new, it's unfamiliar. And I think I'm just someone who feels more comfortable when I have my bearings.
Yeah, that's interesting that there's more mastery and familiarity. There's less novelty. But then it's interesting because sometimes you can sort of experience both at one time. Like I think about this when I read something like the works of Laura Ingalls Wilder or C.S. Lewis or something where I remember my love for them as a child and I loved them so much. But I have a different kind of love for them now, a different kind of appreciation, because I just see much more. I see the mastery of the writing. I see tensions and issues that didn't jump out at me as a child. Like I am much more aware of them now. I see much more what's going on. And so I feel like I still have the childlike wonder, but it's kind of it's in a shell of an adult-like wonder.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I do think, and everyone talks about this, and I think it's really true, that having a child and, you know, doing things with children does help you experience something anew, like going to the zoo, let's say. But yet, like you're saying, it also is wrapped up in your own nostalgia and your own feelings of having done it as a kid. So you can kind of get both at once.
And maybe that's the fact of like when you're at the zoo, the child is just looking at the monkeys and thinking like, monkeys are awesome. And then you're like reading the plaque and be like, it's so interesting when you look at their immigration patterns or whatever. Yes. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like you both are sort of getting it. You're both getting different kinds of wonder. But it's absolutely true. Children remind you of like how amazing a rainbow is or soap bubbles or, you know, it is. You can tap back into that. Yeah. So it's not one or the other.
Yeah. And it just, it really goes to your point that it's just everyone has their own way of perceiving the world and you don't want to be shoving your way down anybody's throat.
Yes.
That's the moral of the story.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So let us know if you like what appeals to you more, adult-like wonder or child-like wonder. They're both good. Now, for listener question, as always, you can leave us a voicemail question at 774-277-9336, which is also 77-HAPPY-336, or email podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
Gretchen, this week we have a question from Fiona in Medford, Massachusetts. She says, My question is to both of you regarding eating healthy. I recently experienced the lightning bolt you have described before related to sugar and the food industry. I have become much more vigilant in my diet and am on a mission to become the healthiest version of myself I possibly can be. I know Elizabeth must keep close track of her blood sugar due to type 1 diabetes, and I've heard Gretchen mention that she does not eat sugar or carbs. I am overwhelmed by the amount of resources out there with diets and meal planning, etc., so I try to eat the least amount of sugar and carbs as possible and load up on veggies. Gretchen, do you have a consistent meal plan that you stick to every day to ensure that you feel your best and know you're eating healthy? I'm so curious to hear what your day-to-day is like and how you stick to it. I am an obliger and an abstainer. I need to come up with a creative way to keep myself on track. And Gretchen, you know, this is a question we have gotten so many times. What do you eat? So once and for all, we need to know, what do you eat?
Right. What do I eat? Well, and I just want to preface this by saying this is the way that I eat. I'm not saying it's the right way for everybody to eat to this point where, you know, everybody has to find their own way, what's right for them. But I'm an abstainer too, like Fiona. And that means that for me, it's a lot easier not ever to eat certain things because then they don't bother me and they don't nag at me. So I don't eat sugar or flour or rice or pasta. Mm-hmm. I just don't eat those. And again, I'm not saying everybody should be an abstainer or that being an abstainer is better, but for me, it's just a lot easier never to eat that stuff. And then I don't think about it and it doesn't distract me because I'm not thinking about, well, should I have one or two or whatever. So there's a lot I don't eat. So what do I eat? I eat a ton of eggs. I have talked many times about my beloved Krupp's hard-boiled egg maker, which I fire that thing up constantly. And I eat scrambled eggs for breakfast every single day. And I will also often eat egg salad for lunch. So that's a lot of eggs. And I will often eat eggs like in a frittata or a quiche. I don't eat the crust. I eat a lot of salmon. I eat a lot of tuna. And I do eat a lot of red meat. I eat a lot of hamburger. I eat steak. And I eat a lot of vegetables. But I don't eat starchy vegetables, so I don't eat peas or carrots or squash or sweet potatoes. Yeah. I eat a lot of nuts. We eat a lot of nuts in my house. And I mean bags and bags and bags and bags of nuts. I do eat yogurt, full-fat yogurt, Greek yogurt. For a while, it was my precious.
Yes, we talked about that.
But somehow I outgrew that. And now I have like one container a day, and that's fine. Those are like the basic things I eat. And then I will eat things that are kind of a mixture of them. So like I would eat a ham and vegetable quiche. I would eat a Cobb salad, which has got, you know, with cheese, I don't eat like a piece of cheese, but if cheese is an ingredient, like there's cheese in a quiche or there's cheese in a salad or it's a cheese.
Feta in a Greek salad.
Exactly. I would eat that.
Well, I think one of the keys to your way of eating, which some people may like and others will not like, is that you eat the same things over and over again. You don't feel the need for a lot of variety. Like, I think out of 20 times that I'll eat at a restaurant with you, 19 of those times you'll eat a hamburger patty.
No, and that's a really important thing to recognize about yourself, too, talk about distinctions. That you're 100% correct. I have always been the kind of person who basically eats the same foods all the time. And I prefer that. Whereas for some people, that would be something you'd have to think about much more. What are you? Do you like a lot of variety? Or are you more like me? I can't remember.
I think I go back and forth. I mean, my issue is just I can't give up carbs. I mean, I just feel like I love carbs. I know I'd be happier and healthier if I gave them up. And I have done it for short periods of time, but I just have not been able to get that to stick. And I think another, just sorry, back to your eating for one second, is I think a lot of people wonder, oh, but when does Gretchen decide, yes, I'm going to have a piece of pie? Oh, well, I am going to have that now, you know, because it's a special occasion. And I know we've talked about this, but I just want to repeat, you never do it. You never have a special occasion. So just to answer that question for people.
Yeah. Now, but I will say this. I love never worrying about it. So for me, that works. Mm. But I think more people, even people who eat basically low carb the way I do, like Dad, they don't go as far as I do, which he has the grandchild exception. Mm-hmm. He's a guy, he basically, day after day after day in his ordinary life, he eats very low carb. But when there's a grandchild in the house, He's making pancakes, mm-hmm. which is his specialty, his Swedish pancakes. We're going to the grocery store to buy ice cream. Mm-hmm. But that's not that often. You know, it's an exception. Like, and how often does it happen? Not that often. And so I think he's found a way to sort of have the fun of the ice cream and the cookies with the grandkids. But basically, he's eating very healthy. And so I think that, like, there's ways to do it. I like to do it very, very consistently.
And but that goes with your upholder tendency, yes. I have to point out.
I'm an abstainer. I'm an upholder. It's just, it does. It's my nature. And this, again, is the thing that we talk about all the time, which is figure out what's true for you and set things up that work for you. You know, my way works for me, but there's a lot of ways that people manage to eat healthier. It's a big question.
So I hope that helps Fiona to know what you eat. And what I eat is not, you know, what the world should necessarily eat. Although I do keep track of my blood sugar and I try to eat protein and all of that. But I'm still a work in progress with my eating, as many of us are.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep.
Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Okay, Gretchen, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and you are up with a happiness demerit.
Yes, this is a well-deserved demerit. So one of the things that's very particular about me is I have this thing where I hate any plot involving unjust accusation. Any book, movie, television show, I cannot stand it. I could smell it coming a mile away and I run. So I hate the play Othello. I will not watch the movie The Fugitive. I would not read the book Atonement because they all have this theme of unjust accusation. But you know how sometimes they say, if you spot it, you got it? I will do unjust accusation. And I just did it the other day where we ordered Fresh Direct groceries and I walk in, my whole family is sitting there together in this peaceful, loving tableau. I walk in, I see these boxes and I say, has no one thought to unpack the perishables? You're just sitting there. Like that was literally the first thing out of my mouth.
And
of course, Jamie's like, well, I took out everything that needed to go into the fridge. That's just the other stuff that we can put away later. And I was like, okay, hi, honey. You know, kiss, 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 kiss. So I think you spot it, you got it. I was doing, and I said to everybody, I'm like, I'm sorry, that was unjust accusation. Now let me give you your big warm hello. And I'm sorry that that was the first thing I said as I walked through the front door.
Yeah. Well, next time one of those is about to come out, Gretch, you could remember this moment and you could say, you can check the groceries first and see if someone put them away before you come out with your accusation.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So Elizabeth, give us a gold star as a refreshing uplift moment.
Yeah, Gretch, I'm going to give myself a gold star this week because as I've discussed many times with our listeners, I struggle with getting to all of my many doctor's appointments.
Yes.
And I had a little bit of downtime and I said, you know, one thing I said in terms of a demerit that I was going to do to, you know, not have a demerit about doctor's appointments was when I have a doctor's appointment on the schedule to go,
yes.
you know, as opposed to moving it over and over again. So I had a doctor's appointment on the schedule. I said, all right, I'm going to this appointment. I went to the appointment and it so happened that day I was getting a referral for a new eye doctor from my regular doctor. And that eye doctor is in the same building.
Ooh.
And I said to myself as I left my doctor's office, you know what? I'm just going to go down to this new eye doctor's office and I'm going to present myself and just see if I can get in because I need to go to the eye doctor. And I went in and I just said to the woman, I have a referral. Is there any way he could see me today? She said, well, are you willing to wait? And I was like, yes, I am, because, you know, my issue is constantly driving to Beverly Hills. It's like an hour each way.
Yeah.
And I thought sitting here for an hour will be much better use of my time. And so I just sat down and I had like no impatience. You know, I just knew it would take what it took and I was just going to be there and, you know, read and relax and wait for the doctor. Anyway, I got in. It didn't even take that long. Got my eyes dilated, did the whole thing. So I knocked out two doctor's appointments in one day. And I now only have one more doctor's appointment left that I need to do. So I was very happy with myself for that.
Well, you get two gold stars for that, because first you kept your word to yourself about like not postponing, but really going to the doctor. And then when you were there, you did two and one for one. That is amazing. Well done.
Yeah. So I'm conquering the doctor thing.
That's good. It's important.
Very important.
Gold star. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Leave on a high note. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Kristen Meinzer. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us in iTunes. And if you like the show, you may be saying to yourself, hey, Gretchen and Elizabeth, I love your show. I want to listen to something else that's kind of like your show. What other shows can you recommend? And we can say, check out the Onward Project family of podcasts. These are podcasts that I've helped to mastermind. One is Side Hustle School by the brilliant Chris Guillebeau. And that's all about how to start a side hustle on the side of your regular day job, how to do something on the side to make a little money, have a little freedom, do something cool with your time. And that's every day, which is a really fun way to listen to a podcast, I have to say. So that's Side Hustle School. And the other one in the Onward Project family of podcasts is Radical Candor, and that's Kim Scott and Russ Laraway. And they're talking about how to work within organizations. So their tagline is how not to hate the boss you have or be the boss you hate. So it's how to do a better job of dealing with people at work. And it is super fascinating. And a lot of the things that they say, even though I basically work for myself in my yoga pants all day long, I find myself using it all the time myself. And so and they're just really funny and have really good insight. So check out Side Hustle School and Radical Candor.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and Upward.